AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Wall Street could be in trouble over the government's latest Fitch rating that predicts whether it can pay our debts. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The Fitch Credit Rating Agency downgraded the U.S. rating from the highest possible of AAA to AA+. Secretary Yellen says that downgrade comes even though the economy is strong.
Fitch's decision is puzzling in light of the economic strength we see in the United States.
She cites millions of new jobs, unemployment at historic lows, and overall inflation that has steadily declined while the economy continues to grow.
Right now, the Dow and NASDAQ are down about 300 points. The shooter who killed 11 Jewish people at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue could be sentenced to death tomorrow. U.S. Attorney Eric Shulhan.
Since October 27, 2018, nothing has been the same. Not for the families who lost beloved family members, and not for those who survived but bear the scars, physical and emotional, every day of their lives.
A jury recommended the death penalty after about 10 hours of deliberations. Former President Trump slamming his second federal indictment on Truth Social. CBS's Natalie Brand has the latest.
Trump has denied any wrongdoing, and in a statement, his campaign called the indictment unprecedented political targeting. Meanwhile, his legal team appears to be shifting blame onto lawyers who were advising him at the time.
Everything that President Trump did was with the advice of lawyers and counsel.
The indictment also names six co-conspirators who have not been named or charged. Legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
This may be just a little push toward any of the six to say, okay, I didn't name you. Here's your chance. Come on down.
Leah Remini just hit the Church of Scientology with a harassment and defamation lawsuit. The actress has been an outspoken critic of the church since leaving in 2013, but claims she and her family have been subjected to psychological torture, including stalking and abuse, for nearly two decades. New York City has no more room for migrants.
We need help, and it's not going to get any better. From this moment on, it's downhill. There is no more room.
That's Mayor Eric Adams, who says people are sleeping outside of hotels now after getting shipped from more conservative states. So many people are now using drugs like Ozempic to cut weight. Employers are cutting insurance coverage. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
The Wall Street Journal says spending can cost the boss as much as $1,350 a month, and it's jumped into the tens of millions of dollars for insurance plans.
Drug companies are also struggling to keep up with demand. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay, Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. 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 Reese's.
Every piece of land has a story. The Upshaw's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and figure out what is it going to take.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaw's have the tools to DIY all day long. Run with us on a 1 Series tractor and start telling your story. Get $1,000 off a 1025R tractor and 0% APR fixed rate for 60 months. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, August 3rd. In Wood County, the Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Highway Department in Wisconsin Rapids. The Southwood County Airport Public Meeting will take place at 9 a.m. at Alexander Field. The McMillan Memorial Library Board of Trustees will meet at 4 p.m. at the library. The Wisconsin Rapids Public Works Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at City Hall. In Portage County, the Local Emergency Planning Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. at the LEC Training Room. The Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center special board meeting is at 4 p.m., and the Human Resources Committee will meet at 5. The Village of Whiting Standing Joint Review Board will meet at 8:30 a.m. at the Municipal Center. In Adams County, the ARPA workgroup will meet from 9 to 11 a.m., and the Airport Commission will meet from 5 to 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 65. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 88. Lows around 60 tomorrow night. Mid 80s Friday. Low 80s Saturday with a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 86.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 2nd, 2023. You have your host, James J. Maloff, here. We're welcoming into our studios today our good friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I haven't got used to that.
That's the first time I got it right. That's the first time doing this show since we moved to the afternoons. I got it right, so you're all right.
And I got it wrong.
Your grandfather didn't, though. You're all right.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We certainly want to say a big shout-out to our friend Joe and all of our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well being here. Appreciate the time from them. Go to your search bar on YouTube, type in there, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to the page and keep up with the great work that they're doing over there. Big thank you to them. Sir, always good to see you. Thanks a lot for being in today.
No, I always appreciate the opportunity coming in every month to just talk about the Sheriff's Department and family and life and all that fun stuff.
Speaking of family, I couldn't help but notice you brought a friend in today.
An honored guest here. My dad, Jim Becker, is up from Florida. He came up. He usually spends a couple weeks a year around this time frame, around the ski tournament and stuff. His granddaughter is a big part of the show, an aqua skiers, and was a show director. Tournament director this year. And so he usually comes up around this time of year, and I didn't tell him what he's doing, so he's not real happy with me right now. But if I told him, he wouldn't come. So yeah. I pulled in the parking lot, and he goes, "What are you doing here?" "Just a radio show."
None big.
I'm staying in the lobby. I'm like, just come in.
Yeah. I got to tell you, sir, I appreciate you being here. Not only that, but you look great. You look better than I do. So you being on camera, you being on the air here, you're in a good place.
Well, I don't think you dress up too well for the air.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. But thank you for being here. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
It's an honor to do that. I know I brought Julia on the radio, Jordan. Still working on Caitlin, but it's just an honor to get family to come out on the radio and be part of the show. It's not about me. It's about family. It's about the team. It's about the team that you work with, and it's always a great opportunity when you get to bring somebody that means so much to you.
It reiterates that. It brings it to light, you being here. It brings a lot of that to the fold, so I appreciate that, sir. I love any opportunity to show the human being behind the badge. I think that it's something that Sean and I have talked about quite a bit. It's more and more important the more forward we go, and you being here really helps us do that. So I appreciate the time for me, and it's good to meet you too. Thank you for the time. You've got a great name. Great name. Sean, I wanted to kind of rewind a little bit and go to this water ski show tournament, talk about National Night Out. Start with those right there. How did the water ski show tournament go?
Went through great. That tournament has been here for over 50 years, and it's just such a highlight for our community to have the event here at Lake Wasecha. And the tournament, since I started in law enforcement here, it was pretty busy. The first few years were, we were law enforcement-wise, running call to call, having to, make arrests or citations. Where there was a big change several years ago that we talked about when the tournament directors, the ski teams said, "Hey, what can we do to kind of tone this down as far as making our lives a little bit easier for law enforcement?" And then what they did is, made some good decisions on holding teams and, skiers accountable for their behavior. And that was a game changer. That was a big, big change for at least, people behaving in the community. I'm not saying that there was tons of really bad things going on, but there was some, you know, issues that we had to shore up. And that made a big difference, you know, many, many years ago. You know, I remember Maggie Malepsky and the people around that time that put their heads together and like, hey, let's just make a change. And since then, we've been having very, very minor law enforcement issues. The tournament is run by great people that come into the community and locals. You know, you look at the aqua skiers, of course, I'm very biased since I was an aqua skier for many, many years. But just with the people that have been part of that team, and whether they're skiers or not, the people behind the scenes just make this tournament go. That's where I'm really proud to say, you know, Jordan stepped up this year along with another aqua ski member, Katie, and they are both the tournament directors. And that's taking on a huge role because you're making, you know, you're assuring that, you know, everything is going on time, that the shows are running on time, everything's going smoothly. But that's not just those two people. Mm. It takes so many people within our community to make that event go the way it does. And it went great. Like I said, very, very minor things. It always seems like we get some weather that comes through.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny, the aqua skiers, their theme was, you know, all about storms and stuff like that. It was an awesome theme. And of course on Saturday we had a couple of storms come through, but again, with the way that the people that are involved with that tournament prepare, you know, for that, hey, weather's coming. You had our dispatch center, you know, connecting with the people, you know, and you know, at the tournament with law enforcement, you know, there's, you know, well, you know, the warnings were already out there, like, hey, we might have some weather coming in. And, you know, okay, so it just, you know, put off a couple shows until later. And that was really the only hiccup all weekend that we had. And, you know, again, shouting out to our two local teams, Shermlot, they're in Division One. They did pretty good as well, competing at the Division One level. And then Aqua Skiers had a great show. They finished fourth, which is great. They had a good show. You know, Mark Hofferman was, I believe, the MVP on barefooting.
Nice.
Phenomenal skier. But there's a lot of them on the team, and their numbers are down. And that's why they're at the Division II level. But it seems to happen with, you know, the aqua skiers and many show teams, you know, where you'll see your numbers spike and then they'll go down. And, you know, it really depends on availability and interest. And, you know, I foresee the aqua skiers kind of continue to build, you know. And I remember throughout the years that I was on the team, that happened. You know, when I joined with Jordan, we were Division III. And then, you know, then a lot of really talented aqua skiers that hadn't been skiing for a while came back, and then boom, all of a sudden we're in Division One and putting on some phenomenal shows. But, you know, again, it kind of goes up and down, and I know that every team's like that. But overall, the tournament was a great success, and it's something that, you know, our community can be proud of. You know, it doesn't happen very often where you get something that has been around for that many years, you know, when Jack Luke started it, and just the history behind that is unreal. You know, there's a historical marker out there that if you ever get to Lake Wazeecha, please read it. You'll see and you'll get the feel, just the history of what goes on at Red Sands Beach.
I feel it when you mentioning it, I feel it. Yeah, I've read it a number of times. It's a very, is a history guy. I love stuff like that. Yeah. And that's one of those ones that really help me feel closer to the area.
Yeah.
And just kind of piggybacking on some of you're saying there, this is a little apples and oranges, but when we came to this area we were the first summer here and the Water Ski Show tournament comes up, we hear what this is and everything. Mm-hmm. Immediately, I remember my mom and dad talking about the taste of Chicago and how in the city, it's a melting pot Chicago is. But with the taste, when that comes around, you got people from all over the state, people from next door states coming over and everything. Yeah. And with that, you have an influx in, you know, oftentimes crime or things. And it's just something that the city has dealt with forever. Right. So we have that mentality and we think, oh, all these out-of-towners coming in and everything. Boy, right. I don't know how this is going to be. We've been in this area for 20 some years, and I'm not saying that there hasn't been issues there or making light of all the work that people do to make that go, but that is a finely tuned machine, the way that runs inside and out every year. And while there are hiccups and troubles, not nearly as bad as we thought it might be coming into this area, or just you would assume looking at it on paper. I don't think everybody is familiar with some of the stuff you started with there about some of those changes that were made to help with that. That's really insightful. I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, no, it comes down to the communication of not just law enforcement. And it's not, you know, a secret to, you know, the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department or Grand Rapids Police Department, but it's, you know, everybody working together to make the event safe. You have a lot of fire and EMS that are aware of it. You've got, you know, rescue that, you know, Wood County Rescue's out there the whole tournament. Yeah. They're the responding emergency folks that if there is an issue on the water, they're going out to help somebody. Or if there's a crash or an emergency around the area, they're going to it. So we're very fortunate to have those volunteers there from start to finish of the tournament. But it boils down to everybody working together, law enforcement, EMS, your public officials that help make this and support the event. Without them, you know, we wouldn't have the event, to be honest. So it takes a big team to put this together, and it's something that, you know, our community should be proud of.
Already looking forward to next year, and looking forward to seeing not only how this the event goes, but taking in the event next year. I want to send a big thank you to Crossview Church hosting the National Night Out and having that yesterday. How did that go?
Great. We had representatives there. Got to give a shout out to Eric Dobbin from Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, who helped spearhead putting that all together with all the law enforcement and EMS. That's been a great event going on for just the community to come out to spend some time with us. Matt Souza brought our UTV out there. It went really well. It's one of those, again, public community policing events that are out there for people to get the opportunity just to spend some time with us and hang out and, you know, just to see what, you know, law enforcement, fire, EMS is all about.
Events like that, the Touch a Truck, the Family Center had a little while ago, these kind of things, mm-hmm. they're certainly great for those nonprofits or for the event theme. But to the point of what you said there and what we were talking about earlier, and you and I have talked about many times, making in this day and age, creating more and more empathy and a better bridge between our communities and our law enforcement is always at the top of my mind. And every opportunity we can do that. Seems like a good thing.
Always appreciate it. Anytime that we can partner with a public event, whether it's the Rafters or anything, you know, within the area or county, we're all in to do something like that. It just gives people the opportunity to see us for who we are. It's not all about the badge. As you already mentioned, you know, there's a person behind each badge.
You got kind of piggybacking from that into the fundraising. You got some fundraisers coming up.
Yeah, we've got one going on right now, ongoing. We've got a calendar raffle going on for our special response team. Right now we're selling these for $40, but if you take a look at the prizes on there, there's a, we call it an outdoorsman raffle, and you've got chainsaw, you've got firearms, you've got tractors, UTVs, you name it. So if it's something that you're interested in, you know, stop down the sheriff's department. We'd be happy to sell you a couple. What we're doing something that our rescue unit did, a calendar raffle. So every day of the month of October, we'll draw for a prize. It's on the calendar, so you'll be able to see what's on there. And one of the neat things that we put on there is, you know, it's no secret we're building a jail. And we connected with the Henry Rifle Company, and they did a personalized rifle with the new jail etched in the side of it.
Wow.
You know, and then it'll have our patch on it. It'll have our core values on the rifle. So it's really one of a kind, and I thought that would be a great, you know, prize to start off with and kick off with. So, that'll be available. But it's not all about the firearms that are on here. There's a lot of other things that are on there that, anybody could use. You know, like the lawn equipment. Who wouldn't want a UTV? Now with a lot of the roads opening up and everything, and, being, you know, a UTV enthusiast, I think that's another awesome prize you can get.
Yeah, so. Never turning something like that down.
James, I hope not.
No. Those are great prizes, by the way, too. Dang, you got some nice sponsors on that one. Well done. That's good.
Yeah, we did. Got to give a huge shout out to Lieutenant Scott Sager. You know, we saw the success of the support from the community for, you know, our rescue unit. And, you know, we're always looking for equipment, and it's not cheap. You know, we budget, we do a great job with our budget, you know, Quentin Ellis does, but there's still equipment out there, like whether it's a heavy vest or something that we need for, you know, our special response team, it costs us, you know, quite a bit of money. So this is an opportunity for us to raise some funds for a very important cause. You know, our SWAT team, special response team, it's that's huge insurance policy. I mean, you hate to say that you need them, but you have to have them because there are situations that do come up that require that extra, you know, safety precaution, not only for the community, which is very important, obviously, but the officers, you know, as well. You know, they need that extra equipment because a situation is happening that dictated that we need to bring that higher level of security.
I think of the canine fundraising we've done before too, and that being able to benefit this being able to benefit that as well.
Yeah. Well, next thing I'll talk about is the Swing for Paws golf outing coming up on the 21st of August at the Ridges. This will be the second year that we've done it. It was extremely successful last year, and we had a lot of people, you know, talking about, like, early in the year, like, hey, when is that going to happen? We want to make sure we get our foursome in it. So, yeah, we are still – there's still some availability for teams. The best way to register is online, and the website is www.swing4paws.com. If you go on there, it'll be easy to sign up for your foursome, and come out and have a great time. All of our canine units will be there. We've got quite a bit of special events on there, some guaranteed prizes, like a trip to Vegas, a trip to Myrtle Beach, $1 million shot opportunity, $5,000 putting contest. So there's a lot of things. It's not just a normal golf outing. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get out there and get some more ways for people to win some money. And then, obviously, support a great cause.
Yeah. Sean, not looking for an exact number here, not to put you on the spot, but as far as your budgeting goes and everything, how much of that pie chart is needed from doing things like this, events like this, and that the you know, people buying stuff or just being a part of these events?
Great question. They're for our canine unit, it's zero budget. And the reason why it's a zero budget is because of the support from the community. You know, and this is a prime example where we can bring something back. Okay, number one, to support us financially, but you can come out and have a good time, potentially win some really good prizes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way that we could, you know, like raise money and get the opportunity to give back to, you know, the people that support us. I mean, I'll tell you that the support that we've been getting for our canine unit throughout the last, you know, several years has been unreal.
Yeah.
We're now looking at potentially getting a therapy dog. Mm. And I was kind of against getting another dog because we have four of them right now. Mm. And that's a lot for a department our size.
Yeah.
But it's all been based on the community support and the community feeling that the need's there. And recently, Legacy awarded us a lot of money for our canine unit, and it's going to connect with mental health. And that's where we've talked a lot about how we feel about mental health and how supportive we are about it. Mm-hmm. Well, how can we connect our canine unit to mental health? And not only with our current, you know, canines, where we can get out in the community and do even more than what they are, a therapy dog is something that we're strongly going to look at and most likely get sometime next year, where we can get out in the community and just do something a little different with that. You know, people, when they think of a canine unit, they think of a you know, a dog that's going to go out and help arrest somebody or find drugs or, you know, something along that line. Mm-hmm. Well, here you have a therapy dog that's going out into different situations, whether it's school presentations or anywhere in the community that we can go out, even in our jail. You know, I think there's a great opportunity there just to have a dog that's available where people are incarcerated. And, you know, that might be just a calming, you know, effect on people that are struggling while they're in custody.
And that calming effect leads to a person who does what they're supposed to do in jail, learn from what happened, grow, be a better human being, evolve, get out of jail, becomes a taxpayer, getting a good job. Seems like a good system. Seems like a good idea. Like that, it's a nice reminder too of what the jail system is. I think sometimes we get people that forget that they just want to throw the book at everybody and forget about the purpose of our system. The dog part of this is also interesting to me too, with the rise over the last 10, 15 years of dog culture and people loving dogs. One of those silver linings of that is looking at the stats like across the country and canine units getting more attention, getting a little bit more more, maybe not the assistance we need there for funding and everything, but at least a little more, hey, this is important.
Yeah. No, it's, like I said, you know, I'm very proud to be part of our team that has expanded our Canon unit, and that's through completely the community support, bottom line. We wouldn't be in the position we are if it wasn't for the people in the community that step up and, you know, provide the donations and support for our Canon unit. We're blessed to have four of them. You know, we have four great handlers. And again, back to the outing, you'll get the opportunity to meet all of them. They'll be there. You can interact with them, interact with their partners. You know, they're all awesome. They do a great job, and we're very, very lucky to have them.
You mentioned legacy. Let's touch on that a little bit before we go to break. In the work that they have done in helping out with a lot of these things.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the legacy board. Mike Bovey, who oversees it, you know, in the last 4+ years, the support that they've been giving the Sheriff's Department. You know, we talked about it recently, our Public Safety Committee, that it's unreal. You know, once we started with that, you know, the passion for mental health and working it through, you know, our department and finding out ways that we could really have an impact in our community. It started with our jail, and Legacy helped support our mental health initiative in our jail, getting counselors working in our jail and connecting with Aspirus Behavioral Health, having somebody, you know, within the facility that is a counselor that can, you know, connect with an inmate, you know, work with them and get them through that situation while they're in custody. That was like the foundation, you know, that I saw working with Legacy on, you know, from my perspective, and they've been extremely supportive, you know, throughout the years, giving us lots of funding, and that tells me that, you know, I think in our community here, we're on the right path of what we're doing with mental health and how important it is for everybody. You know, everybody has times in their life where they struggle, and that's okay. And just make sure that there's, you know, you seek out the opportunities to get help. And again, with the jail, part of the reason why we're building a new facility is because we don't have the room to provide the programming and you know, investing into mental health, you know, within the jail setting. You know, they're the foundation of getting us going with that project, and we've been continuing to expand that. Now you look at what they did for rescue. You know, last year they are funding an airboat. Yeah. You know, and you go back to, you know, I don't know how many years ago when rescue almost got cut, and then the county board brought that back, which was the right decision. And then you look at now Legacy supporting, you know, that volunteer unit of our department. You know, we got an airboat coming now this year. Not only that they're supporting our canine unit, you know, with the mental health initiatives attached to it, but they're also supporting getting a new truck for rescue. You know, that's huge because those aren't cheap. So it's just, you know, I'm really proud to say that, you know, with Mike Bovey and the foundation, the board, you know, very honored that they selected, you know, us for, you know, several times to help us moving forward with what we need to do.
When it's interesting. I was going over some old notes, and I found that you and I have been doing this for about 4 or 5 years now, talking. It's just crazy to me. I can't believe how quickly time goes by. But when that first conversation we had and everything, the very first topic was mental health, and touching on that and talking about it. And here we are these years later, where now it's not something that we have to say in a hushed voice. Right. It's pretty in the, you know, the lexicon around the universe and the world, and everybody's talking mental health. Now is the time to put this to action, though. We've done a good job of bringing awareness to it, but now it's time to get our hands in the dirt and actually do some work. And things that Legacy are doing, they're helping that happen.
Right.
It's. I don't know if we really even have, like, we can even really say at this point in time how big of an impact this has. 5-10 years from now, we're really going to be able to see. We can feel it now. We can tell one now. But I genuinely think that the real true impact of this is going to be for future generations, for people going forward.
No, I agree 100%, you know, and we've talked about it. You go back in, you know, just in my career where, you know, you had that stigma of mental health and, you know, you didn't, you know, you're looked at differently if you went and, you know, sought out some help. But now I feel it's done a 180, you know, I really do. Yeah. I think the opportunities and things that I think that have been identified now is just finding the people that are in the professional services that are counselors, psychologists that can help you. I mean, we need to get more people in that field to help everybody out because the need's there. I think the stigma has changed a lot. You know, it's okay to get help from either a counselor or your church or wherever. It's okay to do that. You know?
And like a lot of things, leadership is incredibly important with this topic, I think, because if you're saying it and I'm a deputy, I don't feel as bad. Well, my sheriff's doing it, I don't feel as bad. It's same thing around here, where if our upper management is making it cool, then the rest of us feel okay with it. It's you don't think of leadership with these kind of things maybe sometimes, but it is a big integral part of it. And in order for us to get where we need to be with this topic, it's important to be able to have that. You mentioned before about the idea of inmates having the therapy dog or something. Mm-hmm. I love that idea, and I think that's great. And we've seen proof of that throughout the country, even here in Wisconsin. But what about for officers? Is something like that, or is there something like that for officers?
A therapy dog? Yeah, or, I'm sure it's out that, there. But
maybe not even just a therapy dog, but just the opportunity to vent, to get these things off. Is there resources for officers for this?
Yeah, one thing that we've been working on really hard is, you know, the mental health of our law enforcement officers, because, you know, we lose too many people, you know, either close to retirement or after retirement to suicide. The rates are very, insane. Very, very high. Wow. And that's given us, you know, especially as leaders, the opportunity to take a strong look at that. Because if you, as a law enforcement leader, you lose one of your own to a suicide, or they decide to retire early because of their own mental health concerns or issues, that's on the leader, bottom line. If you don't, you know, go all in and provide as much help out there that's available, then that's on that organization and definitely the leadership. We've done a lot of great things. We're not perfect. We're always looking at trying to be better, but with our peer support group, where we've got people trained that are working pretty much 24/7, and if there is a concern or they see a call that was pretty graphic or just something that was tough to work through, you know, there's follow-up that, you know, our peer support people that will have with, you know, with our staff or another agency, you know, that's also trained, and hey, maybe you want to reach out to a different department. We, you know, and that's growing. You know, and that wasn't like that before, you know, but that's something that we've been really working on for quite a bit. You know, we have connections to counseling services that are available. And again, we're continuing to build upon that. You know, we expanded our chaplain unit. They have been awesome. One phone call, somebody's there, you know, and it's not a big push on religion, but it's there.
Yeah,
you know, and somebody's there to listen to you in confidence, and where you can talk and whatever you say isn't going to be repeated, you know, so you can really open up and talk about a situation that you might have seen, whether it's a suicide or something along those lines that, you know, would bother anybody. And then, you know, you look at law enforcement and first responders, what we see and deal with can be really hard.
Yeah,
and we all have feelings too. You know, we have a SISM group that has been expanding. You know, Bluegrass and the Lakes. We talked about that. They raised almost $15,000 for us.
Man,
I mean that's unreal.
Yeah,
you know, and it gives us the opportunity to continue to invest in, you know, training, you know, ourselves and connecting with professional services. So when a first responder that struggles through a situation, we've got the avenues there to help them through it.
Mm. We're speaking with Sean and Jim Becker, along with our friends from...
He hasn't got to talk much. I
got a couple questions coming up. I got a couple
Excellent.
For
Thank
you coming
you.
Up, sir. Of course, our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media here as well. We'll take a break, come back with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. An Illinois man arrested in Juneau County in November of 2020 has been sentenced to 72 months in prison. Leroy D. Hampton, age 32, pleaded guilty to possession of methamphetamine with intent to distribute in May of this year. A Wisconsin State Patrol trooper stopped Hampton on November 12th for illegally tinted windows and an obstructed Illinois temporary license plate. After smelling the odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle, the trooper searched the car and found 7 individually packaged bags of meth. A search warrant allowed a search of Hampton's cell phone, which found text messages consistent with drug distribution. In Stevens Point, Sault Marie and Lindbergh Avenues are closed between Bush and Rice Streets until August 11th. There's limited access to properties within the immediate construction area while work is ongoing. Weather and other factors may impact the August 11th reopening date. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 65. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 88. Lows around 60 tomorrow night. Mid 80s Friday. Low 80s Saturday with a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 86.
Welcome back, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 2nd, 2023. Your host, James, behind the mic, and we're joined today by Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker with us, along with your father, Jim Becker. Thank you both for being here. And, of course, a thank you to Joe and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here. Sir, if you don't mind, Jim, I just had a question or two, having the opportunity to have you here and everything. I want to get some dirt on Sheriff Becker, so I thought, no, I'm kidding.
No,
I'm
take that mic away.
I'm kidding.
No,
I'm
take that mic away.
I was curious, especially because we don't have this opportunity very often. When he's a young man, he comes to you and to tell you that this is what he wants to do with his life. What was your impression of that? What did you think of that?
Well, it was certainly not positive. I wanted him to go to college, and basically I made a deal with him that I'd support him if he finished school. And he did, and the first thing he did is go to the academy, so I suppose it would have been a lot quicker just let him do it right away.
That's great, though. And I imagine not easy. You know, as a dad, and just thinking about my own kids and them coming to me saying something like that, I would hope that I would handle it as well as you did. I don't know if I would, but I would hope I would. That's interesting. Throughout the time that he has been doing this, have you found that you worry not as much, worry a little less? Have you been able to find a balance with that? I that is another thing that I'm curious about.
I think that as time goes on, you get a little callous to what he's doing, and he's not on the beat anymore. He's not running third shift or second shift. It is a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
And
how proud are you of him? how proud? Like, I'll let you take.
He's done wonderful things.
Yeah.
It just surprises me how good he is.
How about off air? We'll get the dirt. Off air. I want to hear the dirt.
I can supply you with
plenty. Excellent. We'll talk.
No, but, you know, and I'll go back to the college thing. And when I graduated high school, the focus was just playing football somewhere, and my grades weren't the best. They're okay. And I had the opportunity to get into UWSP and. And the deal was made, and I was very fortunate to have the support and the foundation. And I think that really runs true for any family. You look back at the foundation that you have, and because those are your role models, and he still is a role model, and will always be. And you have that, foundation that you can build upon. It really gives a huge credit to where I'm at right now. I wouldn't be in the position that I am right now if it wasn't for the support from, and love from my dad, and all family. It's not just about my dad, but that's a big foundation for anybody. If you have somebody behind you that means a lot, it helps you be more comfortable moving forward. And I'm very, very grateful for being pushed in the right direction, because I have no regrets on getting my 4-year degree, and having that support. Because back in the beginning of the career, when I chose this path, most people had the opportunity to go through a 2-year associates, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's still required by the state to have 60 college credits, but you get to that point, and even your college career, boy, I could jump ship now. But with the encouragement from my dad and support of both my parents, I got through, got my bachelor's, and I'm very, very proud that I got through that, and that's a big reason why. So like I said, that foundation is important for anybody.
It's one of those things you and I have in common where my father was an athlete. He was in hockey with the Blackhawks and was a middleweight boxer in Chicago and everything. And he had me, and that's what I was going to be. I was going to be the next athlete in the family. I don't know if you could tell, sir, I don't have an athletic build. I was not built for athletics. I tried.
Well, I can tell you, you're not a hockey player.
Yeah, yeah. But so as a young kid, at 7 years old, I went to my dad and I was like, I know what I want to be. I want to be an actor. I want to be an entertainer. And my dad, one of those manly men kind of guys and everything, looks at me and says, that's cool. Just be the best. And he's supported me ever since. My mom and dad have given me, the only reason I'm in this chair is because of the support from my parents and what they've done for me. Just to piggyback on what you're saying there and to really speak to people out there when it comes to those moments when your kids come to you and they bring you that thing that you don't want them to bring to you, that support that you have and not making it about yourself and making it about him, it's still paying dividends. It's still showing and everything. And I think that that's one of the more cooler things we can do as parents and as kids with our parents.
Yeah, I agree with you. Get a little dirt if you want it. I'll bring it up.
Yes. We got the dirt, Joe.
That's fine.
The camera's rolling, okay. Right? The camera's rolling.
Please edit this. No, I'm just kidding. We've been swapping, you know, baseball cards and talking about the Chicago White Sox for many years. And, you know, back when I was in probably second grade, you know, I wasn't behaving the best in school. So I was being bribed by my dad. If I would behave, like I had this little book that my teacher would sign off on every day, you know, that I behaved, you know, I did well in school or whatever. And if I behaved for 5 days in a row, he'd buy me a pack of baseball cards. And that was in 76, 77. So it was a great incentive. Yeah. But now I have him to blame for me continuing to card collect.
Right. Well, we started something there.
But it's kind of cool, though, as older I get, you know, I can afford at least some of, not super expensive cards, but cards, you know, back when I was a kid that I couldn't afford. Yes, and then, like, those sets from, you know, this 76, 77, 78 tops, you know, baseball and football cards. If I see something for sale for a reasonable price, I'll probably grab it. Like, we were up in Crandon last weekend, and there was a flea market going on. We were visiting Jordan and her husband, and we went to the flea market, and my wife Julie was real happy with me, but I found this area that the guy was selling cards, and I'm there. Like, so I found one of my favorite cards, a Roger Staubach 1978. Oh. And I'm like, I'm buying that. And you know, so got through it. But anyway, you know, just a little dirt on how I was bribed.
That's
to
interesting.
Kind of go on the right path.
Nice. And thank you again for sharing that, both of you. Appreciate that. Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about this housing contract you got to sign and lead that into the new jail update.
Yeah, the new jail project's going well. SAMLA's group is doing a phenomenal job overseeing, you know, the project itself as project managers. You know, you've got so many different contractors coming in for different phases of the project, and they've been just doing a phenomenal job with that. It's on time. We should hopefully, we're targeting occupying the jail a year from January. Should get done around October. And this is a learning process for all of us. I thought, okay, if the jail is ready to roll in October, from a year from October, hey, we're in, let's go, let's move. But you have to go through like a dry run period. And that could take a couple months just getting the staff used to the new facility, because it's going to be completely different. And Ted Ashbeck, our captain of jail, has been doing just an outstanding job with the transition team, getting different policies, you know, ready to go, you know, and the ideas of running a new jail. So no, it's that part of it's going really well. The jail itself should be enclosed probably around October. Most of the panels are up, so you can't miss it when you drive by the courthouse. But they've done just an outstanding job matching the jail to an historic building. It's gonna look really nice.
The building itself is gonna look nice. Let alone that is it's one of those things when you hear it makes perfect logical sense, but you didn't know beforehand. It makes sense that they would have to kind of do a dry run to get used to the surroundings and everything. But I wouldn't have thought of that. It's interesting. I would have thought the same thing you did. Doors are open. Let's go.
Let's roll. Yeah. No. But you know, I get there's a process, and again, when you have a great team, you work through it together, and we're very fortunate. And that goes through not just the Sheriff's Department, you know, not just the SAMLA's group. It's, you know, the other resources out there, you know, our county board, you know, they've been just, I always like the opportunity to brag about them and bringing them, you know, bringing us to where we're at right now. But one thing recently, we sat down with Wapaka County, who we house 75 inmates with. Our contract is up at the end of this year, so we knew we had at least one more year to house inmates out of county. And I got to give Sheriff Tim Wells a lot of credit, as we sat down and negotiated another contract. Didn't gouge us. You know, the price went up a little bit per day from $36 a day per inmate to $38. And, yeah, $2 is an increase, but if you look at the going rate at other counties, and they're charging, you know, $45 to $50 a day, even more. So, you know, I appreciate, you know, Sheriff Wells for sitting down, you know, and doing a not a very long negotiation, and we really appreciate it. So we're in the process of signing that contract, which will be the last one that Wood County should ever have to do. You know, when I told you before, once I got in this position, and you looked at the numbers, it was just astonishing how much money that we are paying per year to other counties. You know, Adams County, we will not have to continue a contract with them, so that's going to save us operationally next year about $150,000. And then, yeah, you know, we'll have $75,000 for one more year, and then they said we can even go month to month if we need to, which was another nice thing that Wapaka County did for us. But no, that was something, you know, going through that negotiation, knowing that, you know, the next sheriff or sheriffs to come will not have to ever do that again, and the county won't be put in a position that they have to house inmates out of county. I think at some point, you know, years down the road, or maybe even sooner, we can look at housing other inmates, but the priority will be getting operational. So our staff is comfortable doing, you know, moving forward with the inmate population that we have in Wood County and going forward from there. But again, a great feeling, not for me, but for our department and the county, that we won't have to go down that path ever again.
It's also interesting that's going on, the jail being built and all of these things happening, and just a little way from us in Point, they're kind of in the couple steps back in this process, trying to just figure these things out. And I don't know for other people, but I can't help the perspective of, man, it is really nice to have this in place where we are now. Yeah. I don't begrudge them or envy them when their situation.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because what we have is, you know, Wood County government and Wisconsin Rapids, Marshall, all government working together. Because without the support of especially Wisconsin Rapids and the city council, you know, we probably wouldn't be where we're at right now. They were extremely supportive as we went through the process of permits and things like that. They're awesome. Our mayor, Shane Blazer, everybody, you know, move forward once they had that information. They've been very, very supportive, and without them, I don't think we'd be where we're at. You know, I can't comment on Portage County, Stevens Point. I know that they have to work through their things. Mm-hmm. We're just lucky that we have people that work as a team, and it doesn't matter if you're in the county or city, it's moving forward. And
Yeah, with their situation, I don't. I know quite a bit about it, but I would never pretend to say, well, they should do this or they should do that. Just seeing that it's just an issue and all that, seeing where we are now with this is a real. The perspective can't be lost on me that we're very fortunate to be where we are with this, that we're well past shovels in the ground and everything. Mm-hmm. We've got that already done. It's just a matter of time before this is up and running. Have we talked about enough, really, what's going to happen with the old building?
Well, what will happen once we're operational, that phase of the project, once, you know, everything's moved into the new facility, it'll come down. You know, that's the, we took a look at, do you, renovate it, you know, or remodel it, or, you know, what would be the best, remodeling will cost us more than taking it down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an old building, remember, it's built in the 50s, added on in the late 80s. It's just not functional to really change it into something else. For a short time, we'll probably have some training opportunities, which will be nice for our staff, for our correction staff. But eventually, it'll come down, and then that'll free up some space on the courthouse campus. There'll be some more parking, some green space there. And then, again, our county board, that forward thinking of, you know, the next elected officials and next generations to come, you know, maybe you can add on to the courthouse going in that direction, you know, towards the east. Mm-hmm. So that opportunity is going to be there. So, we'll tear it down.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other activities, some other notes that you have that we were going to get to, maybe if we have time for.
Sure. Last Monday, we had the end of watch golf outing at Lake Arrowhead. And what that is a golf outing that honors law enforcement in Wisconsin, that those officers or deputies gave the ultimate sacrifice while they were doing a job that they loved. And it rotates around the state, you know, and where it, winds up is in a jurisdiction that lost an officer. So I always try to do the one in Adams County because we lost a deputy sheriff there almost 20 years ago, or just over 20 years ago, which I vividly remember. Michael Shannon was killed in a line of duty. He left, came in for court on his off day, and then a call came up on a dispute with some trees with a landowner and a tree cutting company or something along those lines, and he went to it, and the person that was having the issue with the trees being cut, I think they're near power lines, shot and killed him. And I had worked the night before on 11 to 7, and my pager went off, was on a SWAT team, and you know, I remember waking up like an hour into my deep sleep and just looking at my pager and what it said, you know, officer had been shot, something along those lines, get to our rescue garage, and then we deployed from there, and we arrived, and I'll never forget listening to the person that took Mike's life trying to negotiate over the regular airways because he had Mike's portable. And they're trying to talk him to come out, you know, peacefully, and what he was doing. Again, these are the calls you just never forget. He's trying to talk us up to come up so he can, you know, shoot at us. God. And once we got, you know, personnel there, our SWAT team, Juneau County's SWAT team, we had a perimeter, you know, well-established, many other law enforcement agencies. You know, we devised a plan to bring him out to try to arrest him peacefully. And, you know, I'll never forget with my SRT partner, Scott Drew, was the police chief in Port Edwards, great friend of mine. You know, we were positioned, you know, watching and waiting for him to come out. And Juneau County was on, you know, on the other side of, in a different, you know, position, so we all could really kind of watch this individual come out and try to, you know, arrest him. Yeah. The guy came out with a rifle, and he shot at the Juneau County team. Fortunately, they missed. And they shot back. They missed him, and then, but he acted like he was shot, the suspect. And then at that point, we arrested him. Just something that I'll never forget. So transitioning back to this golf hunt, it means a lot to me because, you know, this is 20 years ago, and I got the opportunity after the outing just to sit and talk with his brother Tim, who works at the Adams County Sheriff's Department as a dispatcher there as a sergeant, and you know, it's still a hard conversation, you know, and even with him when he lost his brother. You know, early on in Mike's career, and Mike went through Mid-State. There's a lot of connections that Mike had with, you know, the Sheriff's Department, Wisconsin Rapids, in this area. And it's just something that it's important for me to go because it's very humbling. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, you know, having a, you know, a typical golf outing. There's a lot of meaning towards it. You know, when you talk about the people that gave that ultimate sacrifice, and they didn't not only honor Mike, but, you know, we've had a deadly year in Wisconsin with how many officers that we lost just due to gunfire that were murdered. Mm-hmm. And it gives us a time to think about the people that gave that ultimate, you know, sacrifice. And then you see the family members that come and we get the opportunity to honor them as well.
I had a very violent, weird upbringing, and I can't think of many things that I haven't had thrown at me, or my family hasn't had thrown at me. And you say a story like that, and I have no perspective. I have no tie-in. There's nothing I can bring up, nothing I can touch on in my life that can even come close to what it is like to be in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. I thank you for sharing that. I'm glad you're here. And I'm very appreciate that you share that story. It's important that we hear those things. I can't imagine it's easy to talk about, even 20-some years later. Thank you. This is how we create that bridge. This is how we make that happen, and we make it stronger and stronger, showing the things, the situations that our officers go through, and the things that they are still living with years and decades later. Mm-hmm. I don't like you to be an example. I like you just live your life, but I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It's how we make things better in our society, is sharing this stuff and showing those kind of things. And for us as citizens to hear these things and realize and put ourselves in your shoes for a second to what that's like. I don't think you have to have a great imagination to be able to do that, put yourself in your shoes and be like, that is a situation that not many of us know how we would handle.
Yeah, it's a harsh reminder of how this profession can change in an instant, and there's no way to predict it. The only thing we can do is train for it, you know, and then be supportive of each other when, you know, something like this happens.
Coming back to the mental health aspect of things and the importance of why we talk about that so much too.
No, definitely. You know, when you have, you know, we've been talking about, unfortunately, preparing for it. Just not that you ever want it to happen, but you want to make sure that your department is in a position to have the resources available when it happens. You know, a recent tragedy, they talked about, okay, how are you going to prepare for a line of duty death? And then, you know, weeks later it happens, you know, over in the west side of our state. And with that, that's brought more and more, you know, awareness of what we need to do as an agency to have things in place to work through the situation. You know, first things first, it's all about family. If you have that tragedy, you need to get out right away and talk to that family immediately, because we live in a life of social media that it's going to get out there, and it's going to get out there fast. And the family owes that, you owe that to the family to make sure that they're aware of what's going on, and moving forward from there. You know, like I said, the mental health side of things with this profession, you know, you've got to look at every opportunity that you can have available to help people through, especially tough situations like this.
We've only got a minute or two left here, Sean, mm-hmm. but I do think sometime it'd be great to be able to talk maybe a little bit more about that without sure. prying. I don't want to ask any questions that I shouldn't be asking beforehand, but I haven't thought much about that, of having to inform families.
Yeah.
And in this day and age where we have a 24-hour news cycle, we have 24-hour social media, I hadn't even thought about that having to get ahead of that. That's an interesting topic.
I'd be happy to do that, and I'll bring our chaplain, Dave Bratley, over.
I'd appreciate that.
He has the most experience at our department with you know, our chaplaincy, and we've talked about it. You know, how do we prepare for it, just because of these harsh reminders that are out there.
With the last minute or two we have, I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to touch on, or if you want to go over some of the fundraising events we have coming up.
Well, yeah, just the calendar raffle, if you'd like one. We have them at the Sheriff's Department. We have them out in the community as well. So please come out and support us with our special response team. Our canine golf outing, August 21st. Still time to get on that and be part of that. And then lastly, you know, thanks, Dad. I know you weren't real happy. I had it tricky in the coming. I apologize for that. But I figure if I did that, if I told you, you wouldn't have been ready this morning. Mm-hmm. But no, love you. Appreciate the support and that you've given me and my brother Scott and our family. Like I said, we're in positions in our life that are both successful, and that comes from the foundation of you.
Thank you.
And thank you, sir. Thank you very much for being here. Really do appreciate the time and you putting up with us talking and everything. Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Good. Sean, it is always good to see you and talk with you. Be safe out there. Take care. We'll talk again next month.
Yeah, I'll see what I can bring for a trade.
Yeah, that sounds good. Of course, a gigantic shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rabbits Community Media. Love and appreciate you guys. Go to your YouTube page, throw in there Wisconsin Rabbits Community Media, subscribe to their page, and keep up to with the great work that they are doing. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR, 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Members of the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh are reacting to today's jury recommendation for the shooter to get the death penalty. Lee Stein lost her dad, Daniel, in the 2018 attack.
Justice has been served. And even though nothing will bring my dad back, I feel like a weight has been lifted and I can breathe a sigh of relief.
U.S. Attorney Eric Olchan.
While today's verdict may mean many things to people, it cannot change what happened on October 27, 2018. It cannot bring back any of the 11 victims. No verdict can set things right or restore what was lost that morning.
The shooter will be formally sentenced tomorrow. Former President Trump is slamming his federal indictment, calling it a Biden administration tactic to influence the 2024 election. Most key witnesses in this case are Republican, and Trump is set to face his federal arraignment virtually or in person tomorrow. And Trump's attorney, John Lauro, says none of this will affect his 2024 campaign.
In a case where there's a political prosecution, there's no doubt that he's going to continue to run. None of these charges preclude him from being president of the United States, not one.
Former Vice President and his GOP rival Mike Pence has said anyone who puts themselves before the Constitution should never be president. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she strongly disagrees with today's Fitch rating, which essentially downgrades the U.S.'s credit rating.
Over the past few years, the American economy has seen an historic recovery from the depths of the pandemic downturn.
She says there are more jobs now, unemployment's lower, and inflation is easing. After nearly 100 days on strike, writers are headed back to the bargaining table in Hollywood. KNX radio reporter John Baird is there.
The hope is a meeting will lead to new bargaining sessions and ultimately a new contract. But Sal Calleros, who's a member of the WGA, thinks the efforts by the writers going out on the picket lines and then having the actors join them, he believes those things together have really made a difference.
I mean, they've been there supporting us from the beginning. I think that those efforts have been fruitful, or at least they're starting to bear fruit.
Talks are expected to resume Friday.